Praise the Lord. I hope I got this right now. Amen. We've been going through, please be seated. This morning, the title of my message is called The Tabernacle Called David. The Tabernacle Called David. I'm going to go through the book of Samuel. I'm going to summarize from chapter 15 through about 21. On account of folks, younger folks who do not know the stories and about David and everything that happened around him. Praise the Lord. So starting 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to do this summary so that I'm actually headed for chapter 22 where my message is at. But if I hit on chapter 22, the summaries on chapter 15 and all that gives us a good precursor to this message. Praise be the Lord. The tabernacle called David. There's a promise the Lord gave us in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, 15. He said he will restore, build again the tabernacle of David that's broken. The tabernacle called David. In chapter 15, last time I think Pastor was here, he talked about one of the last few services, the Lord rejects Saul's wife for his disobedience. The Lord gave a command as to what he should do to the Amalekites. He didn't follow the command to the letter. And he said to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the part of rams. I'll read just one or two verses in each of those books. I'm heading to chapter 22. Verse 22 of 2 Samuel 15. Samuel told Saul, after he had done what he shouldn't do, sacrificing the rams and all that stuff, he told him in verse 22, he said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is like idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. A summary. Now, I'm going to highlight verse 24 and 30. There's something particular about Samuel, as compared to David. Here in verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Because why? I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He had respect of persons. He cared more for what people thought about him. Folks, do you care more people of what people think about you? Or what the word of God says? Do you care what your brother thinks, what your spouse thinks? But what the word says. So this word will richly dwell, let it richly dwell in your heart. Many men fall, and many men have been called to glory because they succumbed. And I say women also, they succumbed to pressure from their spouses. They have fallen short of their high calling in Christ Jesus. Men and brethren, brothers and sisters, let us lift one another up in this high calling in Christ Jesus. If your spouse is working hard to press on, support them. If it's your husband, your wife, support them. Don't be a clog in the wheel. Amen. Verse 30. Look at, as Samuel talked to Saul, see the same thing happen. He cared so much about what people thought. Now he approaches Samuel, read the whole book. He approaches Samuel and says, look, Samuel, you know what? I want to look good in front of the elders. Just, you know, I know you didn't sacrifice, but please, just make me look good in the face of people. You want to look good in the face of people. That's what was Saul's problem. He cared more for what people said. And he said in verse 30, said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. He's already been rejected. And he was still thinking so much about them, say, what the people think about him. Please, as you press on to your high calling of mind in Christ Jesus, it shouldn't matter what I think, what she thinks, what he thinks. Be accountable. You see, Saul and David do a comparison. David did a few things in his life. But you know what? He turned to God. He said, against thee the only have I sinned and done that which is wrong in thy sight. He turned to God. He didn't care what the people thought. He turned around to God. It doesn't matter where you have been, where you are going. Always look up to him and not give a rip what people think. I'm not saying you should deal with people with just disdainly. No, that's not what I'm saying. Wisely. Praise the Lord. Chapter 16. In chapter 16, we see Samuel went to Jesse and anointed king and anointed David as king over Israel. In verse 13 and 14, something took place in the spiritual. Chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Which his natural eyes was not even there. Somebody with me? Let's read. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So there was a transfer which was unknown in the natural realm. That which is yours, that the Lord has portioned you to fall. In the name of Jesus, no man will steal your crown. I said, no man will steal your crown. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Chapter 17, we see David kills Goliath. Saul was in stupor when he saw what this young man did. A man of no repute, didn't know who he was. Let me just read that verse 55 of 2 Samuel chapter 17. I say, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of his host, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is, this young kid, this teenager. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou? Thou young man? And David answered, I'm the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Praise the Lord. You will be a shock to your peers in the name of Jesus. The Lord will make you a teacher of your teachers, above and not beneath, in the name of Jesus. The enemy will look at you and say, wow, I thought I was through with this person, but he ain't seen nothing yet. Praise you, Lord. Now, we go to chapter 18. Jonathan and David in verse 4 became tight friends. Verse 5. See, and David went whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. When the Lord begins to promote you, behave wisely. I refer you to a sermon Brother Emmanuel preached a few weeks back on wisdom. Go back and listen to it. Behave wisely as the Lord promotes you and you become visible before the naked eyes. In this case, David became the defense minister. He got promoted, boom, over the army. In verse 5, and David went and behaved, and Saul set him over the men of war. He was the commander-in-chief just overnight. Verse 7, his challenges started. He's been anointed king. Verse 7, this is where my message begins to peak. See, and the women answered. The women start saying, wow, you see what that guy did? Woo! And they started dancing. And they started singing to one another. I mean, these ladies were 18, 19, 20 year old, whatever. Beautiful. And what happened? A jealous spirit. See, verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands, David his 10,000. Whoa, the king. And Saul was very wroth, and the same displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed thousands. What can he have more than the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Problem started for David from that day forward. Verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Saul knew it. I'm not the same guy anymore. May the presence of the Lord not depart from you in the name of Jesus. I say, may the presence of the Lord not depart from you in the name of Jesus. That will not come to church and think you are in the presence of the Lord, but the Lord has gone, long gone. It's not coming to church. It's nothing about church. It's more when you are not in church. Can you say amen, somebody? The real you. You want to know who the real you is? When there's nobody around. In the privacy of where nobody sees you. That's the real you. Who's your master? Who do you have allegiance to? Verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him. He demoted him from being the minister of defense and made him a captain. Can you imagine that? Somebody was made commander-in-chief, and suddenly he became a captain over 1,000 people. He was over the entire army. But he was anointed king already. Between the point where he was anointed king and where he took kingship, it took several years. I didn't have enough time to go and study to find out how many years. Between the time of promise and getting the promised land, there's always a wilderness experience. Can somebody say amen? And boy, you have to go through that wilderness experience to become king or where God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. They started setting traps and conniving. Look at verse 15. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he was more afraid of him. That was verse 15. Then he set traps for him again. Tried to give him his daughters. The first daughter, Mirab, he put the first one on him. Verse 19. Verse 21, he now gave him Michal, I don't know how you pronounce that, M-E-C-H-R-A-L. What did he say? And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the twin, between both daughters. As I read verse 21 there. Bottom line, he now told David, he said, you know, for me to get your daughter, you're going to go kill me 100 men. He was sure that David could not kill 100 men. Praise the Lord. He was sure. So he said, I was going to set a trap for the guy. Boy, was he shocked. Not only did David kill 100 men, he killed 200 and brought their foreskin and gave, hey, David, I killed him. The trap the enemy set for you shall be clean escaped in Jesus' name. Yeah. I said, the trap the enemy set for you, you will be clean escaped like the wind. The wind cannot be caught in the trap. And every weapon fashioned against you, as a child, as a man of God, as a woman of God, you will not see the light of day in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Verse 29. And he brought it 200. He was shocked again. Verse 29. Saul was yet more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. It was true for David at first. Saul was concerned. He was going to finish it. Praise the Lord. And look at all this again. Through all these troubles. Verse 30. David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. In other words, they say, wow, there's something about this guy. When the going was good, he was a wise man. When the going was down, he was down on his luck. Wisdom ordered his step. In fact, he was more wise. Praise the Lord. So, by and by, as time went on, we see, I'm going to just skip through the rest of it and head to my message in chapter 22. I just brought all this up so that you see that now Saul set his eyes at just obliterating this man of God before he got to the throne. But through it all, the Lord was his high tower. The Lord was his defense. The Lord put a shield around him, and the enemy could not penetrate. 1,000 fell on his right, 10,000 on his left. He couldn't get to this young man. Praise ye the Lord. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Now I go to verse chapter 22. Several things happened between 20, 21, 22, trying to escape. Himself and his men, they ran to the high priest, Ahimelech. This is where they're all hungry and they needed food. And he says, look, man, I need food. And the priest said, look, I got no food. It's just this holy food, holy bread here, and you can't partake of it. David said, you know what? Just give it to me, man. I know the God that I serve. It's not about the letters. It's about the spirit. Amen? And he did. And he gave it to him. And these men didn't die when they ate that which was not their portion. Somewhere else in the scriptures, a man, I forgot his name, tried to help the ark. He instantly passed away. this tabernacle called David. As David started running away from Saul, and I'm in chapter 22. Lord help me. David therefore departed tents and escaped to the cave of Adullam. The cave, that was his first hiding place when he was by himself. Adullam.
there's a story behind the story. Adullam means, it's a place name meaning sealed off place. God was telling him through every event and every place he went to. Adullam, you are sealed off. He was encouraging him. Nobody will touch you. If I have a seal of God on your life. See, I'm the one who shuts, no man opens, and I open, no man. Amen. That was what he was telling him here. The first place he went, the cave of Adullam. It meant sealed off place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David behaved himself. Verse 2 said that everyone that was distressed and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there was with him about 400 men. The next place David got to, it's a place called Mizpeh. Mizpeh. The meaning of the word Mizpeh, it means watchtower or lookout. Praise ye the Lord. And guess what happened there? This was where David went to Moab, the king of Moab, and told him his father and his mother were with him, following him. He went to King of Moab, said, you know what? Please watch over my parents. Amen? Can you get a story? He said, watch over them. And he was where? At Mizpeh. I'm telling you, your life and my life is ordered by God. You are here today, not by happenstance. You are in this building today. You are part of this world today. Not by happenstance. But because the Lord knew. If you go ask him, he knew why he made you part of this world today. And don't let it pass you by. That's a blessing. Do you remember what Jesus did? In Luke? Sorry. John. I think... I got to find that scripture. Chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. This is exactly what Jesus did at the cross. He looked at John, looked at his mother. He said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He's telling us through these scriptures. We have a responsibility. Say, honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with you. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
You say honor to him. He did it. Jesus. Next place he got to is called Horeb. In verse 5. He went, you could read all this story yourself for brevity of time. I'm not going through the details. Horeb means woodland. Up to now, David was hiding. His whereabouts was not known to Saul. He was hiding. And he went to this place called Horeb at the ordering of a seer called Gad. A prophet. Say, hey, go. Go to Horeb, woodland. Man in the woodland began to become exposed. And what happened? His whereabouts became known to Saul. Sometimes God's promise to us. It's like, Lord, this is a trap, man. I was in hiding. I was safe. And now, you see, I should go where I'm exposed. And he was exposed. God was setting this man up for promotion. God was setting this man up for promotion. The problems and the challenges that we're going through, I'm more convinced than ever. And it's God happening in my life. Every problem, every challenge that you go through, God is setting you up for promotion if you embrace it. I said, if you embrace it, he's setting you up for promotion. this tabernacle called David. This explosion or discovery of David, this place, caused the death of the priests, the whole village of Nod, the village of the high priest, obliterated, probably thousands of people saw killed. But guess what? Reminds of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 fall on your left, 10,000 on your right. Because you are man, my God, your God, no evil be before you. Everything around him crumbled. Everyone around him was killed. But he was clean escaped. Can you say amen, somebody? Can you say amen, somebody? The next place he got to was Keilah. K-E-L-A-H. The place name for Keilah is a fortress. What would you expect? Oh, the Lord is my fortress and everything. But in this place, David himself was inside the fortress. And it was like a trap. The fortress became a trap for David. In the processes through his life and this place names, he was telling the story and giving encouragement all along the way to prepare him for sonship, to prepare him for kingship. Ye are the sons of God. Ye are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what you shall be. The you I see now is not the you that is perfected. But when your perfection comes, Lord, the devil better watch out. Praise be the Lord, somebody. You have changed. You will be totally changed. Every darkness will be turned into light. And where there's light, darkness cannot abide. And suddenly, you are changed into image of God and His Son. Praise ye the Lord. Hear what Saul said in verse 7. 23. And Saul said, God had delivered him into my hand, and he shot him by entering into a town that had gates and bars. Well, guess what? Through the gates and the bars, a man that is shut in with God, rather than run away from battle, he went to God. Say, Lord, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. What's going to happen to me? What are these people going to do to me? They're going to give me up for the enemy to finish me? Or what am I going to do? He was asking his seer, the prophet. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet. He said, yeah, they're going to give you up. So guess what? He became clean, escaped again. Praise the Lord. He ran before Saul got to the fortress. Before the gates could be shut, the Lord opened. And David was escaped. No trap set for you by happenstance, by your own doing, by your errors of omission or commission. If you go to the Lord in prayer, you will be clean escaped. You see, the thoughts of the Lord, he said, my thoughts towards you are always, it's not dependent on what I do. Because of his finished work. See, my son will remain my son. No matter what he does. And I give him a few whipping, a few spanking, but he remains my son. Ye are the sons of God.
Amen.
Praise God. I use plural sons. It means daughters too. Amen? Amen? So don't say, who is this male chauvinist? No. Hallelujah. The next place he gets to is called Ziph. Ziph, I found out, means flowing. And guess what happened at this place called Ziph? There was something common among these people. They were just all talkatives. Everywhere David went, they told Saul. Yakety, 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 yakety. So the Lord was telling him, he said, this is among the people who you're going to hang out. For this time, you're going to learn a few things about them.
Amen.
Have you been among people? There are certain people. If you want the city of Phoenix to know what's going on, just tell that person. Are you anybody like that? It could be at your workplace. Just tell them. If something, the news you want to spread out, they will spread the news for you. They are no, it's more than radio Phoenix. They are gossips.
Right.
They are gossips. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. May Lord have mercy on us. Ladies and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, even with what you know is true concerning somebody, if there be no praise, if there be no good report, that's what Philippians was saying. Say, think on those things that will edify, that will build up the body of Christ. You don't need to be the radio to pass the news on, even if it's true. And so what? The Lord ain't through with that person yet. He ain't through. Neither is he through with you yet, or with me either. I am perfect. But I'm going higher, yes, higher. Praise ye the Lord. The Peter you saw yesterday is not the Peter you see today. Yeah, I'm the same bald head. But it's changing me. It's changing me. From the inside out. Praise ye the Lord. And I'm sure he's doing the same thing for you. Praise ye the Lord. Oh my God. Proverbs 16:19. You can read that. Said these seven things the Lord hates. And it went on and on. Said those that sow discord among brethren. Don't be that guy. Can somebody say amen? Don't be that guy. The next place, verse 25, he gets to is called Maon. M-A-O-N. It's a place name meaning dwelling. God is telling David here, I know you've gone through rough times. I am your dwelling place. Amen. We are calling to him what he said in the rock of Adullam. I am that I am. I am your dwelling place. And no weapon fashioned against you will prosper.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's like he's telling him what Isaiah 54 says there. He says, the thunder is bearing me witness there. Praise Jesus! He said, get to the other speech. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. I think I should go on. You can read that. God is your hiding place. Say, I created this snake and all that stuff. No weapon fashioned against you will prosper.
Amen.
He has sealed him for the king, for the kingship, kingdom, for the kingship, and nothing will happen to him. Oh, then he gets to where? Engedi. Ladies and gentlemen, I could stay on at Engedi for the next 3 days because he tells the whole story of Jesus.
from his birth up to the new heavens and the new earth. I was praying and seeking the Lord, and I said, he said that, and I said, why? This Engedi was a portion given to Judah in the dividing of allotments by Joshua. Joshua chapter 15 verse 62. You'll find it in there. Joshua chapter 15 verse 62. And who was the most prominent? The most prominent to emanate from Judah. Can somebody give me his name?
The lion of the tribe
of Judah emanated from that tribe. And there's something about Engida that if I start talking about Engida, you probably will have to hold me down. Then I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, okay, I got it, lion of tribe. I said, Lord, how about the goat? How about the goat? Because Engida means, it's a place name meaning place of the goats or the young goats. So I said, Lord, how about the goats? What has the goats got to do with this? Then he answered me. He says, where was I born? So when, where was I born? So I was born. I said, yeah, that's true. Among the goats, the cattle. Guess what David did? He was just telling the story. He carried 400 men, the rejects of the earth, the bombs, you and I that were nobody. He took the foolish things of the world to compound the wise, the highly placed, the intellectuals, the who that is who. Say, no, I'm going to take you, Candace. Shola, yeah, I'm going to love you. We that were nobody. He became the captain of our salvation. Can you praise the Lord, somebody? We that were headed nowhere, he made us somebody. And he took on suffering on our account and became the captain of our salvation. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Oh boy. Let me tell you something about Engida that I found out. It's a major oasis along the western side of the Dead Sea. The springs are full and they have semi-tropical vegetation. It's a source of fine dates, aromatic plants that are used for medicinal purposes and for perfumes. Can you see that? For perfumes. Guess what happened? At the cross, at his death, at his birth, the wise men, they brought frankincense, myrrh, as gifts to the king. Like Pastor Francis was saying, what happened? Mary, she brought balms from this place. This area of Engedi is known for these medicinal plants and perfumes. One fascinating thing about Engedi in Israel, it contains the only, one and only natural waterfall in Israel. Amazing. I was telling the story in just where David was at. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, when I said to you, and Judah tells the whole story. from the birth, death, and the new heaven and new earth. He said, there's a tree. I said, show me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the streets of it, and on either side, there was the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, that yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree was for the healing of the nations. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. So this was the land of Engedi that David was at. And what happened at Engedi is like the whole story of the cross was revealed in mercy, in forgiveness. At Engedi, Saul went into a cave to go eat himself, and David's men were behind the cave, and they knew Saul went in there. You know the story, you can read it. And what did David do? David took a piece of the robe. He was ready. His men were saying, hey, kill him! Kill him! But what did David do? He said, God forbid. When you have the opportunity to revenge, would you revenge? He said, when a man sees enemy, I let him escape. What would I probably do? What would you do? I'm a coward! But David said, no. Let's just read it. If you give me 5-10 more minutes, would you do that? Praise ye the Lord. We are looking at 1 Samuel chapter 24. I said 1 Samuel and I went to Lupuna Kings. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Look at what David's men said to him. Excuse me. And the men of David in verse 4 said, and the men of David said unto him, behold the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him, I shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and caught up the skirt of Saul's robe. And it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's robe. And he said unto him, the Lord forbid that I should do this unto my master, the Lord's anointed. He was still calling. It wasn't about what his men were saying. He was focused. He was accountable to no other than Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. Compare that to Saul. Was thinking, if you had killed this man there, you'd have said, it's cool. The guy's going to kill me anyway. Am I right, somebody? But he didn't. And his heart smote him. That's why this is a man after God's own heart. He was not seen through the eyes of man. He was seen through the Lord's eye. Lord, that we may see through God's eye. That I may see all the time through God's eye. Because when you have the opportunity to say something about somebody, to malign or whatever, and you do this, you are seeing it from God's eyes. And the Lord starts changing you from the inside out. Praise ye the Lord. Listen to this. My cause. And David said to him, verse 9. No, let's read verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave after he finished doing number 1, or is it number 2 they call it, and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King! And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. He was still giving obeisance to this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, as you mature in Christ Jesus, humility begins to take over you. Praise the Lord. If you look at the natural plant, the wheat, as the fruit begins to mature, what happens to that tree? It begins to bow down. It begins to bow over. As the fruit of the Spirit begins to swell and mature within you, a spirit of humility begins to descend upon your life. And it wouldn't matter what somebody says or didn't say. You begin to bow over. They think you are idiots. Rather be a fool for Jesus than be a smart aleck or wise man for the world. Can somebody say amen? And David said, verse 9, Wherefore hearest thou the men's words? David knew Saul was listening to words of men. We said that, saw that last few verses, about chapters back. Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. People are pumping Saul, saying, Look, that guy wants to kill you. That was the gates of hell rising up against David to kill him before he got to his promised land. I told him the whole story. So check out your robe. Check it out. The thing pricked Saul's heart. That's what the Bible is talking about when it says to us, say, do good to them that hurt you. Say, in so doing, you heap coals of fire. He's not saying that you're going to burn them up in hell and stuff. That's not what he's talking about. No. You put them on a guilt trip, and it's unlike anything. When somebody is cursing and cursing at you, I start blessing them from the depth of your being. A whole different thing starts taking place on the inside of you. It's happened to me a few times. And when those things happen, man, I said, Lord, this is a good feeling. Like Saul, Stephen, the martyr, Stephen, right? Stoning him. He was in a total different realm. Say, Father, forgive them. He was changed. He wasn't the same people. His whole cell, every organ in his body was praying for this man. Just like Jesus. Say, Father, forgive them. Can you pray? Sincerely pray for your enemy. Something starts taking place on the inside of you that you cannot put your hands on. You are changed from the inside out. And Saul, in verse 16, he said, Oh, is this my voice? My son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He was more than convicted. He said, Wow. And he told him assuredly, he knew that the Lord had raised this king, this kid, as a king. Look at what he said. I'm going to read some to us in a few minutes. Say, verse 19. Say, for if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. For that, now behold, I know well the thou shalt surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand. The will of the Lord will be established in your life. In the name of Jesus. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, today, the will of the Lord will be fulfilled in your life. Say, what shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Things present, things to come? Say, by no means. You will not be distracted from your high calling. Yesterday, it's a spent dollar. It's a new day today.
Hallelujah.
Yesterday is gone. It's a new day today. You can write on it as you so please. It's that the Lord gives us a brand new slate. Come on. Determine today what you're going to write on it. May you write that that's pleasing to Him and not man. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I made him promise. He said, please don't wipe me out. Now, the enemy was not begging David. David, I know that the Lord's with you. Please don't wipe me out when your kingdom is established. The tables are turned around. Well, you know what? In all this, David did not ascend to the throne. After this, you see, was hidden in the wilderness. David saw sin went ahead. The time was not yet. When your time is come, you don't have to force about it. You don't have to press the issue. It will be revealed. In Jesus' name. The promise that God has given you, say, do it tarry. Wait for it. It shall not tarry long. Do it tarry. Wait for it. Don't give up! Everything around you wants you to give in. Help is just around the corner. Praise ye the Lord. Don't listen to naysayers. Praise to Patil. Don't listen The Lord told me. He said the tabernacle called David that he's trying to restore, he said it's our ability to praise Him. To praise Him in the face of challenges. In the face of tribulation. When everything around you is not right. Most of the book of Psalms was written by David. When things were not right. Let me read. We read this psalm. It sounds so good to us. Let me read one psalm to us. That he wrote during this his ordeal. Psalm 57. Jesus. May God have mercy on. God is trying to restore the tabernacle of David in your life. In my life. That is broken. That in the face of tribulation, you can wake up and begin to praise Him from the depth of your being, from yourselves. You are transformed into a new man. Did this happen before? Absolutely. We see in Acts chapter 16. They were in prison. The physical prison was holding them. But he couldn't hold them all longer. He could not hold them longer. This is where we are going to, folks. That we see that after our natural eyes, we caught up to see as the Father sees. Thou may praise Him, because I have no doubt in my mind in what He said. He wants to restore praise in the midst of tribulation. Amen. Our ability as Christians in the face of satanic onslaught on our lives, our ability to rejoice in the face of a satanic onslaught in our lives, break down satanic strongholds in our lives, and open the window of heaven for divine intervention and deliverance. This is the tabernacle God seeks to restore in the church, in your life. Most of us can praise him when things are going good. He wants to restore to us our ability to praise him when you don't feel like praising him. When everything around you, the bank account is empty. But you can go into your closet and praise him anyway. This tabernacle called David. This is part one. We see the few highlights we see. This is probably true for us as individuals. It's so easy for us to praise him in a congregation like this. What is calling us to is lively stones. You and I personally, one-on-one, to praise him when the going is not exactly right. I'm convinced more than ever before, and I tell you sincerely, that it's just a setup for your promotion. I'm serious. If you could take every cell in my body and examine it under a telescope, that is the message to you. That you are able to praise him when everything around you says you should not praise him. He wants to restore. He said, I will restore to you that you can't come as eating. Joel chapter 2. The power one. The armies that are sent among you. I will restore it, said the Lord. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn for a man as him. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's but by my spirit. I will restore, said the Lord. A few things, highlights about the Engedi that you see in the life of David, like the Christ. Total yieldedness. Forgiveness. He didn't revenge. He said, vengeance is mine, and I will pay. Vengeance is mine. You are usurping the authority, the power that's only reserved to God. You want God to be mad at you? He said, vengeance is mine. Who are you then to take revenge for what someone did to you? That is a position reserved only for God. Don't play God. Praise ye the Lord. Is somebody with me? Hallelujah. I don't know, this morning, I got to close. Maybe you're here, you have not even known of this Christ we're talking about. You've not taken the first step to have a relationship with him. Maybe you're struggling with vengeance, unforgiveness. At the cross, there is room. It's a new day. It's a new day. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It's a new day today. You can forgive him. You can forgive her. You don't need to revenge. You don't need to have the last say. You don't need to have the last word. And the Lord will give you strength. In Jesus' name. If that's you with me, if that's you, come join us in prayer. There are some books. By the grace of God, we're going to create a library. We've been saying this for a little while. We're going to create a library for us here that will help us along this journey. None of this is from a book. I'm just bringing that up. Just Lord, put it through my mind. Hallelujah. Let us pray. If you have challenges in any of these areas, like I've had challenges sometimes, there's a book on forgiveness that I've read that book about 5 times. And each time I read it, I see myself falling short I say, Lord, please help me. If that is you, want to come join me here in prayer, that Lord will help us and perfect all that concerns you. Maybe it's a situation of vengeance. Before somebody says something, you want to say it back and have the last say. You want to give them the last piece of your mind so that they know that you are not, you're not going to take anything lying low. There's a room at the cross. This is the tabernacle called David. Amos chapter 9. Because I know, even at work, you go through stuff. And you feel like, this co-worker of mine, this business partner of mine, why did he do this? Why? The Lord says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his wings, and I will build it as in the days of old. Praise ye the Lord. I'll read down that scripture towards the Hosea, chapter 3, verse 5. After that, afterward shall the children of Israel return to seek the Lord their God and David their king. He's not talking of King David. And shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. This is the latter days. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, Lord. We come into your presence, all of us put together. So much in my life, so much in our lives that need cleansing, that need curing, vengeance, unforgiveness. All these things in our lives, we need a cleansing from the within, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The psalmist said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let the dark begin to give way for the light in the name of Jesus. Jesus! You are help to the helpless and hope to the hopeless. Help each and every one of us. Help me be transformed into the image of the Son. In the name of Jesus. Perfect all that concerns us. And put a smile back on our faces. That the bone that thou hast crushed may rejoice. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Help each and every one of us, Lord. Help each and every one of us, Lord, that we may become like the Christ. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Abba. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be your name. You are the one who works within. Cleanse us from within. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. So this is it. Praise. When you don't feel like praising him. Going to read to up Psalm 57. When you get home, please read Psalm 57 and you find that this is what Silo, this psalm is what David wrote when he was going through tough times. And we shall be changed. I said, we shall be changed. You will be changed in the name of Jesus Christ. Darkness will not obliterate you from God's destiny in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. There's a song I'd like us to sing, if you don't mind, as we close. Or shall we just say the grace and accept? Let's say the grace. If you want to sing that song with me. If you want to give your life to Christ, there's room at the cross also. Let's say the grace and we'll sing that song. So if you want to go home, what have you? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.